exceptionalism. Hey, Anthony, speak that Levine trade into existence. Levine in a first for D'Lo, Vando, or Rui and Gabe, plus maybe a second. It has to be D'Lo, Rui. Like, those two guys, those two contracts kind of have to be in the trade. Otherwise, you have to trade D'Lo, Vando, and Gabe. Actually, yeah, I think no matter what, like, you basically, it's like D'Lo, Vando, Gabe, JHS, and I think one of your minimums might get you there, but for the most part, like, you basically, the Lakers have to send out more money in that trade than they bring back, and that's why D'Lo, Rui, D'Lo and Rui basically have to start those trade negotiations, which makes it a tough trade. Like, it makes it a tough decision to be made there. Unfortunately, the trade is so logical, you know that the inept Lakers front office won't do it. Still, keep pushing it. You asked whether LeBron would take less money next year to chase a championship with his son, but he'd have to opt out to do that. And I'm concerned that with his age, playing in the Olympics, and consequent likelihood of injury, LeBron won't be worth anywhere near what he's making if he opts out anyway. I think his best strategy is to opt in and then demand that the Lakers trade him and Bronny to a contender, because this inept front office can't or won't add the necessary pieces that make the Lakers a contender next year, especially with AD aging as well. Thoughts? You're the best. Can't wait for Vegas Summer League episodes. Lakers exceptionalism. I appreciate the kind words. I really, really do. Look, the Lakers have been adamant. Anytime I ask about LeBron James, the Lakers have 100% confidence he is going to be retiring a Laker. Why that is the case, I think, is really interesting. I can't wait for the documentary, like, 30 years from now, when people are willing to say, like, LeBron and Genie basically made an unofficial pact that LeBron basically has to retire a Laker. I also think a big factor here is, like I've talked about with LeBron's business interests, if he walks away from the Lakers and wins a championship somewhere else, and he pisses off a Lakers fan base that is already kind of split on him because of the whole Kobe dynamic, he would be concerned about the impact on his business interests after playing. I think that's going to be a factor there as well. But no, like, I was, you know, I think it's really interesting, and I understand and share some of the skepticism of the whole Charlie Brown hoping to kick the football this time around thing. But, like, if LeBron takes a legitimate, like, a big time, you know, pay cut next summer, then you don't have to worry so much about, you know, what he does or how he looks coming off of the Olympics. You don't have to worry so much about, like, you know, will he be worth the max contract and all of that stuff. I would honestly be pretty surprised if he opts out after this year, he winds up taking his full max next year, because I do think that the whole, like, the more I thought about it, it makes a lot of sense that LeBron would want to end his career with, you know, by winning a championship with his son, and do something that will likely never happen ever again. So, like, you know, how interested he would be, in doing that, what kinds of players he would be interested in doing that for, all, you know, become very interesting and you know, obviously important questions to answer at that time. But I'll put it this way. I believe more in LeBron taking a pay cut next year with a better free agency and draft class, even though that the Lakers will be swapping out, or no, I think they are on the hook for I think the Pelicans just have their pick next year. But, you know, between between a better draft class, between a better free agency class, like, I believe that LeBron will take a pay cut more confidently than I ever was about the Lakers moving three picks in this upcoming summer. Like, I'm going to be frank. I think Rob lied to everybody about that. I don't think he ever planned on moving all three picks in this upcoming summer. I don't think LeBron, when I hear about that stuff, I don't think that the people I hear that from are lying to me in the same way that I believe Rob lies to basically anybody. that lying thing, like the lying thing, screw it. Rob's relationship with the truth, I'm finding out, has really bit the Lakers on a few occasions in some of these in some of these negotiations, that teams just never quite believe that Rob is being 100% honest with them in those negotiations, and are thus kind of jaded to come off of their prices, because like the Kings, I've talked to people close to the Kings, like the Kings still feel like Rob lied to them and thought that Kuz was going to be a Sacramento King. They're currently trying to trade for Kuzma. So they've wanted Kuz this whole time. They thought that Kuz was going to be going there, him and I think Trez for Buddy Hield. They thought that that was done. Kuzma thought he was the Sacramento King. And there are people who feel like Rob lied to them about that process and about those decisions that wound up being made. And like negotiating, like it's a dirty business. It is a combative business. It is a brutal business. Like I've heard enough about how heated some of these negotiations can get that like it's kind of astonishing anything gets done ever. But all of that said, it's kind of like the honor among thieves kind of thing, where it's like there are certain lines that, you know, they're confident won't get crossed. And outright lying in the way that some people have felt Rob has lied to them in the past, that has affected, I'm told, how the Lakers have been able to operate in this market. And, you know, again, Rob wasn't a very popular agent. And then he kind of continued some of those iffy practices now as an executive. And I think there are enough people around the league, you know, throughout the league, who are just kind of like, I'm good. You know, we'll just wait to deal with the Lakers till after Rob is gone, if he ever is indeed gone. All right, so that is going to do it here for the iTunes reviews. Thank you to both of you who sent those in, and please keep those coming. Those are really good for the show as it continues to grow in pod form. A reminder, please do send in those questions in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes. And you can find the podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. And obviously, I would prefer you find it on Odyssey. Also, a reminder before I dive into the YouTube comments here, please do hit that subscribe button. We're recording live here on a Sunday afternoon. We're watching the Lakers get smoked again in a summer league game. The score at halftime, 49-34. We'll see if the Lakers are able to turn it around in some of those games. I'm always concerned when a team is just not able to field a competitive summer league roster. Like, I understand, you know, not every team is going to have Wemby on it, or not every team is going to have like a, you know, high lottery talent on it. But it kind of speaks to some of the disorganization with the Lakers, that like the Lakers look so disorganized in these settings, even compared to the team that they're playing against. Like, it's just, you know, anyway. All right, I'm going to go back up through here and see if I can find any super comments. Otherwise, I'm going to try to find questions from our subscribers. And it looks like we have one here. Brian Fritz writes, I understand the Lakers having patience in making a deal, but it would be a bad idea to wait until the season. It's not fair to have D'Lo and others waiting on if and when they'll be moved. Brian, agree. 100% agree. I think it ignores how human beings operate to basically say like, yeah, we totally, like, as soon as you opted in, we all jumped for joy and immediately, like, I've heard that the Lakers basically were canvassing the league quietly. And then when D'Lo opted in, I've heard that the Utah Jazz got a call from the Lakers within like an hour. All right, let's figure something out here. And it's like, yeah, it's, you know, that's not to say that it's not good that the Lakers basically got right to work. Like, that's good to hear or whatever. But from D'Lo's perspective as a human being, it's like, you guys haven't wanted me around for basically last year. I was used as a trade. I was used as trade bait at last year's deadline. I was looking forward to potentially being able to use some leverage here so that I could regain some footing in this relationship. Wasn't able to get that, and then was immediately reminded why I wanted that leverage in the first place. And then on top of it, for everybody else, it's like, all right, like, how bought into D'Lo is everybody else on that roster going to be? And then on top of that, like we talked about coming into this offseason, I thought that the Lakers needed to do I needed them to actually accomplish their primary goals in this offseason before you head into the regular season, because all that means is teams are going to be looking to take advantage of the desperation on moves that they know that they need you, like, you need to make. So it's just tough. It's a tough spot for the Lakers to find themselves in, where once again, potentially, And look, right now it feels like this is going to be the case. The Lakers are going to head into next offseason with everybody understanding that, like, yeah, you know, they need to do this. They need to move off of D'Lo. And we just are going to collectively suppress D'Lo's market so that it makes it that much more difficult for them to get off of D'Lo. And you know, we'll see what that market looks like. The next comment here, also from Brian, it looked like Bruce Brown has 1 year left for $23 million. Yeah, and it's like, it's just like the perfect amount that is annoying, because I guess the Lakers could send out D'Lo and Gabe for Bruce Brown, or D'Lo and Vando for Bruce Brown. And that would also get them far enough below the, you know, it would open up enough space that they could use their taxpayer mid-level exception. I saw Jovan report that the Lakers are interested in Gary Trent Jr. He's been a name I've been kind of circling back on throughout the offseason as well, and can confirm that he's somebody that the Lakers would be interested in if they are able to open up that space or that exception for use. And so, like, if you could basically turn D'Lo and Gabe Vincent into Bruce Brown and Gary Trent Jr., I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. And like the you know, it just depends on Rob making a deal with Masai Ujiri that might feature him, you know, appearing to potentially lose the trade. We'll see what that comes to. I think, yeah, I'm trying to go through here and see if I can get some interesting questions from other people as well. Yeah, I think so. First, so AC Ice Cold Ace writes, first option AD, second option Braun, third option AR, fourth option Jeremy Grant. Is Jeremy Grant ready for that? No, I think that's the biggest question I have about Jeremy Grant, to be completely honest. Is he actually interested in going back to a role that, you know, he didn't enjoy in Denver, or a role that he didn't enjoy in Oklahoma City? He liked going to Detroit and getting to spend more time on the ball, even if it meant that his teams did a lot of losing, because he wasn't equipped to do that at a high enough level for Detroit to win. He likes being able to do that in Portland, because he, you know, there aren't any expectations there. Like, not every player is basically wired to where winning championships is their utmost priority. And, you know, maybe in this case, like the concern that would be in trading for Grant, especially if you trade both first rounders for Grant, is that he doesn't want to be the fourth option, isn't interested in doing the small things. And now you don't have a first rounder to go and make up for the fact that Jeremy Grant isn't interested in doing those small things. I think that, like, to get back to, you know, earlier in this conversation, fair and unfair criticism, like, I don't think it's fair to basically say to the Lakers, why the hell wouldn't you use both of your first rounders on Jeremy Grant? It's like, because nobody else is interested in moving two first rounders for Jeremy Grant. Otherwise, he would have. Otherwise, we would have heard literally anything about Jeremy Grant's market moving. Like, nobody wants that contract. It's a bad contract. And so, like, when people are like banging their fists on tables for the Lakers not wanting to give up two first rounders for Jeremy Grant, I'm like, I kind of get where the Lakers are coming from there. I'd like for them to do something elsewhere so that their other moves can maybe be a little bit easier. But like that one in particular, not wanting to move two first rounders for Jeremy Grant, like, I don't know. I think I side with Rob Pelinka on that one. Weird thing to say out loud. Let's see. Mark Gurman, does Irwin think Grant happens? I don't think so. I think Cronin is a very stubborn negotiator. I think Rob Pelinka is a very stubborn negotiator, and that is a tough combination. We saw Cronin send Damian Lillard to Milwaukee last year because Miami wouldn't meet their asking price. And now I think with Jeremy Grant, Cronin, there's no reason for him not to come off of the stance that he wants two picks, two first rounders for Jeremy Grant, because they're going to be bad anyway. And the longer that Grant is on their roster, you know, the more valuable he kind of becomes. It's kind of weird thing to say as a player ages, but the fewer years remain on that contract, the more likely it is that teams are going to be more willing to trade him, so long as Grant stays at a relatively similar level. And I think that's basically what the Trailblazers are thinking on the Jeremy Grant front. All right, I think I'm, like I said, I'm recording this and I just like look off to the side, and apparently Colin Castleton almost got baptized. He was another official move that the Lakers made. They re-signed him to another two-way contract. There was some buzz that perhaps he might get an official NBA contract this year. So I think the Lakers are pretty stoked to be able to get him back on a two-way deal. I just really hope we get some Castleton minutes with the big team. I understand some of his limitations. He looks a little goofy out there at times, but he does have really good feet. I think he has good instincts offensively. I just want to see what it looks like when he gets to play with better players than he has to play with in the G League. And even while he played with, you know, that kind of inherent conflict of interest that exists in the G League, where players are more focused on getting out of the G League than maybe winning games. And that has a real impact on bigs down there. He was still clearly their best player on that team last year. And I'm just curious what that looks like when he gets to play without that inherent conflict of interest. All right. Let's see if we have any more here. Yeah. Ivan, Dalton ain't even trying on defense. I just texted Jovan. Like, I was like, watching Dalton is like legitimately hilarious. Like, it is really funny to watch him on defense because those instincts are rough. I think the tools are there to maybe eventually get it if they focus on those instincts and try to bring those instincts up a little bit. But man, he does this thing sometimes where he doesn't know where he should be. And rather than like look around to show awareness on where he maybe should be, he kind of just like hops in place and it, they just puts him further out of position. And you know, his closeouts haven't been great. It needs to improve on that front. Cause it has looked ugly to this point. Like, it is just, woo, man, he needs to improve. Let's see. Jaguars Foot writes, they shouldn't move picks. You potentially could set back the franchise. Rob is not the only person that lies. JJ said him and Bron couldn't talk about the head coaching job. No, it's one thing to lie to us. Like I get lied to constantly. Those of us who try to do any reporting, we are always getting lied to. That is just a part of our industry. The difference is like lying to people that you're trying to work with, right? Or, you know, lying to people that you're trying to negotiate with, not negotiate against, but negotiate with, so that you can maybe accomplish something. And that's where, you know, you can sometimes run into trouble with Rob Pelinka. But yeah, at some point I'm going to do a little bit more reporting and more writing on that front as it pertains to like examples from other executives about Rob Pelinka. But that is a kind of well-formed reputation of Rob Pelinka. Is like, he just, nobody really knows if he's actually being square with them, and that's gotten the Lakers into some trouble. Whew, man. All right, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this one here and enjoy the rest of my Sunday night. The plan, as always, there's Dalton with a steal there. Good stuff, Dalton. And an M1. There you go, Dalton. All that needs to happen is for me to criticize guys for something, and they'll turn it around. It is a tale as old as time. But no, I'm going to go ahead and call this one here, and I'm going to probably do another live show tomorrow during the afternoon to see if we have any kind of breaking news. I also have to get a move on recording player preview. It's too late to do player review stuff, but do player preview stuff that will run while I'm on vacation in the next couple weeks or so. So that'll be kind of the plan here for, you know, things moving forward. And then, hopefully we'll get some kind of news from the Lakers, a salary dump, anything that would make it seem that the Lakers are going to be able to accomplish anything this offseason that wasn't found money. And if and when we get stuff like that, I will go live. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.